How are you at public speaking?
If I'm practiced, I could do it. I'm okay. I don't get, you know, paralyzed with fear or anything.
Okay.
I think I could do it.
Yeah, you don't have to have someone sit on you and listen to a Walkman at full blast?
No, I do not. I do not.
That's good.
Oh, D'Angelo, there's so many problems with you.
Oh.
He's no Michael.
Look, he had to choose between his parents. He had to choose between his parents, Tiff. Give him a break.
So did Toby, and Toby turned out okay.
Did he?
Yeah, no, he didn't.
We don't know.
But Toby's back. Okay, we are talking about season 7, episode 21, Michael's Last Dundies. Single tier, but it's only the second yep. Dundee episode. So Michael's second Dundies that we've seen.
It's
annual.
It's very confusing. It's annual. We talked about this last time, but this is Erin's first Dundee? Or maybe she's just very excited about it?
I think she's just excited.
I think she is excited.
Well, when did Erin start? No, Erin was there for some Christmas parties. So yeah, it should have been. Okay,
she's
yeah.
Been there a
while. It is a little confusing. Timeline's not super.
That's fine.
Super refined, but that's okay. This originally aired on April 21st, 2011. It is written and directed by Mindy Kaling.
Yes. The first time she wrote and directed the same episode, which is really cool. I did some reading. She also wrote The Dundies in season 2. So it's nice that she got to write sort of kind of the closing of The Dundies, you know, the second chapter of The Dundee story.
Yeah. I think that that's a nice bookend here. And So throughout this episode, we definitely have an A plot. It is all about the Dundies. There's that tiny little sliver of the B plot with Erin being unhappy with Gabe. But that's like a couple lines of dialogue in a car and then a horrible reveal at the Dundies.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it's all about the Dundies. I mean, even our cold open is about Michael and D'Angelo getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning to go to everyone's house, which I love to see. I love seeing how they styled everyone's houses and handing out the Dundee nominations.
Well, they also throw eggs. They throw eggs at Toby's house.
Well, I mean, that's part of it, really.
Hey, Toby, you suck.
Is this an employee of ours?
Why go?
We see Meredith's house again. But I think we've seen before, or maybe we see after this, but we see Meredith's house. It's like a disaster.
Never seen this place in the daylight.
This reminds me of Katrina.
She's walk of shaming up her driveway. And she's going to make Vienna sausages for breakfast. You know, good, great way to start the day.
No, you got to stay. No, I have Vienna sausages and I have napkins. Let me fix your breakfast.
I'm not going in there.
Yeah, they just kind of run away from her door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is a 22-minute episode, which is pretty normal, but we also have a really short intro. So that's they add a little bit extra in because they cut the intro short.
Yeah, it's cram-packed. You know, we say this when we come to episodes written by Mindy Kaling, that very often they're very dense. This one's a little bit different in the sense that it is basically just the A-plot, but there's not a wasted moment. And it's definitely one of those episodes that I've seen these episodes many times. And there were things that I feel like I caught this time, like Dwight's multiple comments about the dress of other people. Like he's grading people's outfits. And then he later tells Michael that the fashion was boring. Hadn't ever picked up on that before. So it's one for a rewatch for sure.
Yeah, I'm with you. I never picked up the whole Dwight fashion angle until this time, and I really enjoy it.
The man knows his yellows, you know?
A little announcement, folks. Remember, the Dundies is a black tie affair.
Black tie optional.
Every day is black tie optional.
Look, he has that suit that his grandfather was buried in. He just wants to get it out again. That's all it is.
Since we already started talking about Dwight is passed over again in this episode for kind of being the co-host of the Dundies with Michael, which we've seen him kind of be the sidekick for the first Dundies. And he's on the keyboard, like he's playing the sound mixers. He's kind of the Fred Norris. You know, you've never listen to Howard Stern. No. But anyway, mm-mm. he's the sound man, making all the little funny sounds in the background.
Okay. Yeah. Which is what he does in the first Dundies. He's season two. He's on the keyboard, right? At the Chili's?
Yeah. Yeah, he is. So, but Dwight feels slighted again by Michael by not being asked to be kind of the co-host as he asked D'Angelo. But we all expected that he was going to ask D'Angelo. I mean, the whole beginning here is Michael grooming D'Angelo to take over the Dundies because, as Michael says, this is his baby and he doesn't want to see it die because he knows if the Dundies live on, then he can live on.
Yeah, this is very much a continuation of the things that were explored in the previous episode. Michael has this desire for legacy at Dunder Mifflin Scranton, and he wants things to continue the way that he did them. D'Angelo isn't Michael. He has different thoughts on things. We see in this episode that things like the Dundies are really outside of his comfort zone. And so Michael has to wrestle with that. And I like that they use the Dundies for that, because even though we don't see a bunch of them in the series, once you start looking in the background, there's Dundee trophies just all over the place, right? Like, he has them in his condo. There's one on his desk. It gets mentioned. This is something that is clearly important to him. And so to have this as his send-off and his passing the torch is really important to him.
Yeah, and D'Angelo, as he said, that this wasn't in the job description, he is not giving us a strong vibe that he will be continuing this.
Well, you know, why don't we try it? And if it goes good, it'll be part of my tradition.
Why are you even saying that? You're going to love it.
Michael's trying his best to get him comfortable with it. They have a whole scene in the conference room where they're giving D'Angelo comedy lessons, like performance lessons. And this is where Michael feels that he excels, and sometimes he does, but he's very comfortable being in front of a crowd. We've never seen Michael shy away from the spotlight in any way. And so we have now a contrast of this character of D'Angelo just not into this. And so I think that this is kind of an addition to the setup for us, the audience, of not liking D'Angelo. Are we being put into the position of intentionally not vibing with D'Angelo on, like, now a kind of like level where it's like, if you need to take over and do the Michael things, and he keeps refusing or not being able to perform or doing so in a poor manner. I was discussing this with Marco and my husband, and we were saying that it is kind of a setup for us, the audience, to not like D'Angelo. Mm. Like, I think that it's intentional. And he was mentioning that there's so much network pressure to have a takeover of Michael, or have like some sort of big name to like draw more people into the show, or get people to like tune in to find out who the new manager is going to be and like find this big name. And it feels like we're kind of intentionally being set up to reject D'Angelo in some way. What do you think?
I think there's definitely something to that. You know, Michael's fear is that the office, lowercase o, will change when he's gone. And I think that's the fear of the audience. Like, you know, that, oh, this central character, Steve Carell, is leaving. What will this show be? Will Ferrell's character shows a example of what it could be, right? That the office lowercase would be potentially more serious and very different than it was under Michael Scott. And we as the audience feel their tension with them, right? And we feel Michael's tension with him. And we're unsure about how the show is going to change or how the work environment's going to change. So, you know, as far as setting up not to like D'Angelo, I think that's definitely part of it. I think it's also part of it as we want to leave on a high note with Michael Scott.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Scott doesn't always have high notes, right? Sometimes they're pretty low.
Except he does take the high note when you sing Happy Birthday.
That's true. You really got to get up there. It's beyond my range.
He always sings the high part for Happy Birthday.
Yeah. You got to bust through, you know? So I don't know. Yeah, I think there's totally something onto that. You know, whether it's about not liking D'Angelo Vickers in particular or not. You know, I think it probably is. But at the same time, there's all, I mean, I remember when this was happening and unfolding 10 years ago, thinking, oh gosh, like, where is this show going to go? Because so many shows, when they lose their, you know, a central character, they very often struggle to recover. And we will deal with that in the coming seasons, maybe. But yeah, I think setting us up to not like D'Angelo is part of the bigger game.
And we've heard from some listeners that they like D'Angelo, that they are Will Ferrell fans, and that this character doesn't bother them as much as this character bothers us. And I still think that even if you enjoy Will Ferrell's comedy, I still think the episodes are trying to set us up to not vibe with D'Angelo. I still think that that's an intentional perspective that they're forcing on all of us, and that they will eventually force onto even the characters. Because right now the characters are basically like saying goodbye to Michael, as we'll talk about, especially in this episode. Oh my gosh, so much crying. But, you know, we are also going to be following up on how they start interacting. We know that Dwight is already on edge because he wasn't picked as manager.
Mm-hmm.
And we are seeing that now, even in this episode, everyone's kind of a little bit like not feeling it with D'Angelo because his comedy falls badly. It's kind of disappointing that he can't follow through with the Dundies. He doesn't have that kind of enthusiasm. He's not being the MC that Michael is and that I think everyone kind of got used to. And so I think in the coming episodes, as we see Michael head off and D'Angelo take over more of Michael's duties, we're going to see more of a reaction from the staff themselves on how they start to feel about D'Angelo.
I do like in dealing with the sort of public speaking comedy aspect of D'Angelo that they really draw a stark difference between him and Michael. You know, when we meet them at the bar in the last episode, they seem like they are very much cut from the same cloth.
Mm-hmm.
And we learn in this episode that maybe isn't as true as we thought, that D'Angelo is more comfortable in a meeting than in a performance. Well, Michael Scott turns every meeting into a performance, right? He doesn't like being in front of a crowd and telling jokes and being funny. And Michael Scott lives for that. And so I like that twist that they do in this episode, that they're not just replacing Michael Scott with another Michael Scott. This guy is, in some ways, fundamentally different. And I think that's key to kind of understanding where the show may go after this.
So for me, when I was really picking apart this episode, I kind of plowed through very quickly the beginnings of, you know, D'Angelo getting his comedy lesson in the conference room. And then it moved on into the Dundies at the restaurant pretty quickly. And there are a couple Dundies that we see get awarded. And I think that there's a little comedy in there. But in general, I feel like it's all setting up for them to go back to the office kind of at the end of this episode. But I say we go through the Dundies. We talk about, you know, who is giving out what, because we've already discussed D'Angelo kind of crumbling under the pressure of public speaking. And then we get to talk about the kind of best part of this episode, which is the surprise at the end.
Yeah. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. I forgot it was in this episode. I was like, oh,
that's how I felt too. Like, okay. Yeah, we'll talk about it. But first, let's get our chancellor hats on, and we can list out some of the Dundies that are given out and some of the repercussions that result from some of these Dundies.
Yeah. So Jim is up first. Jim wins Best Dad, which is nice. He tries to give a speech about fatherhood that's sort of weird.
Jim Halpert, Best Dad Dundies!
Wow, I do not parent for the awards, but I gotta tell you, it feels pretty good. Cece, if you're watching this at home, it's way past your bedtime. By the way, how'd this get televised? Thanks.
Well done.
I don't know, maybe being a good dad is just following your own compass. I don't know. Thank you.
Oh. He seems very excited to receive this Dundee. I mean, previously he was just kind of like, I feel like Jim was as enthusiastic about the Dundies as he is about Halloween. And this time it seems like he was very into it.
This sets Pam up for assuming she will have the best mom, Dundee. That goes to Meredith, which Pam does not like.
Best mom, Dundee. This person, well, I guess we all sort of consider a mom around the office. Meredith Palmer!
Oh, you say what? Tell you one thing, I'm not going to be a good mom tonight.
I do like that they're like, hey, let's get a picture of the best mom and best dad together.
And again, Jim's pretty psyched about it. He's into it.
Then we get to the hottest in the office. As it's announced, I love this detail, Ryan starts getting up out of his chair, but then it's awarded to Danny Cordray. So I guess he's still on staff. He's out on the road selling, you know, like the good traveling salesman that he is. There is then a confessional where Ryan's like, how do I feel about not winning?
I'm very relieved. How do you judge someone? What is his criteria even? It's so subjective.
I think he's a little jealous that he didn't get it.
I think he's totally jealous. And this kind of indicates that this has happened every single year. Because the very first Dundee that we saw when he received it, he was still a temp. He was totally caught off guard that this even happened. And he was just really embarrassed to receive it. And now we see that he's kind of getting in the Dundee routine of just every time it's hottest in the office, it's going to Ryan. So he gets up and he accepts his award. But this time he's thrown for a bit of a loop. And I think that that's pretty funny.
It's really great. Up next, we have Stanley with the Diabetes Award.
The diabetes. As Michael pronounces it.
Stanley Hudson is a grump. Everybody knows that. But did you know that Stanley Hudson is also the face of a debilitating disease known as diabetes? The Diabetes Award goes to Stanley Hudson. Come on up here, you sick bastard.
There is also this like running little thread that Phyllis is just very unhappy about everything. So she tells the camera that she has diabetes too, but she doesn't, you know, you don't see her making a big deal out of it. We need to loop back to the opening video, but in the opening video, Phyllis is portrayed as an old lady knitting who falls and can't get up. And Phyllis is very angry about that, like looking very pissed at the camera, at Michael.
Wait, let's circle back to that video because I do have a comment. I wrote a little note.
Okay.
It looks like Michael might have borrowed Dwight's wigs for everyone in the office because we did see previously that Dwight had a wig for every single person in the office. And now we're seeing Michael kind of doing that same bit where he is portraying a version of everyone in the office as D'Angelo is looking for Michael Scott for the intro video. And that's what I thought. I'm like, oh man, he borrowed Dwight's wigs. He borrowed Dwight's wigs. That's so cool.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if Dwight knew or he just helped himself. So we, in that opening skit, we see Michael dressed like Joe, calling D'Angelo, hey, we need a host for the Dundies. D'Angelo's acting is really bad. Just cringy. Right.
No, we need Michael Scott, the best darn Dundies host both sides of the Mississippi.
I gotta find Michael Scott. And then I gotta get him to the Dundies.
Hey, can you help me find Michael Scott, Angela?
My boyfriend can. He's a state senator.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, he can't help because that title has no meaning.
The camera finds Oscar and Oscar's laughing at it. So there's still that little something's going on with Oscar and the senator. Something Oscar knows that he's gay. We see Jim dressed as a stoner with an earring. He just wants to listen to records.
Jim, do you know where I can find Michael Scott?
Oh, I totally don't know where Michael is, dude. Hey, you want to listen to some records?
I love that Michael can't pin down, like, what Jim is, because Jim's actually just so average.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have any strong thing to, like, to pin on him as a caricature like everyone else has. So I thought that was really funny because it's totally wrong.
Yeah, it's really great. We also see Michael dressed as Phyllis, like we said.
What are you talking about?
And then D'Angelo is like, maybe I should look into my heart. And then Michael Scott appears in the mirror in the bathroom with D'Angelo across from him.
That's pretty good camera work, I gotta say.
Yeah, Michael Scott's video editing has come a long way.
Yeah, he had a lot of practice with Threat Level Midnight.
Yeah, it takes years to do that. He did this in a week. And then they get introduced, and that's when we get into the Dundies.
Yeah, so the following Dundies, let's see, we left off with Stanley. And then we have up next is Dwight. Dwight's award?
Yes, Dwight is awarded a promising assistant manager.
They say he's going to be my right-hand man. Ad lib masturbation joke.
No. I hate this. I hate it so much.
Dwight Schrute, please accept this promising assistant manager Dundee.
Ouch. Ouch.
Yeah, it's harsh. Dwight throws it in the trash can after thanking trash cans. He's not having it.
Creed enjoys the thanking of the trash can during the award ceremony.
Yeah, the trash can shout out. The thing that that kind of gets me with the Dwight and Michael stress is like Michael's getting ready to leave, and like this is tension building up in a relationship that's kind of been core to the show for a long time, so we will see how that goes, I guess, next week. But Dwight is definitely unhappy. Later, there's a big argument between Michael and Dwight about the Dundies, and it's painful to see. Dwight is clearly hurt, and he's not handling it very well.
As we discussed before, Dwight feels very betrayed. He feels like because they were friends and they've been through so much that this should have been something like a passing of a torch that could have been a gesture of friendship and a gesture of like, we've been through so much together that Michael offers the job to Dwight, but it didn't unfold that way. And sometimes when people have really strong emotions about something happening, they react in a really bad way, like almost like when a child reacts, they get mad when they're really actually upset over something. Maybe that's where Dwight's emotions here are coming from, where he is very angry at Michael, but he's also really upset. So it's like the sadness is coming out as extra anger here.
I want to dedicate this award to something that we take for granted in our daily lives, and that is the humble trash can. This is for you, trash can.
Now that we've psychoanalyzed Dwight, let's get back into the Dundee Awards. Who's up next?
Okay. Up next, we have the cutest redhead in the office, which is Erin. Meredith then follows Dwight's example and throws her Dundee down because she wanted that. She didn't want best mom. She wanted cutest redhead.
Pippi Longstocking, Ronald McDonald's wife, Ron Howard, Ron Weasley. What do they all have in common? Redheads. And Erin Hannon, come on up here to receive your cutest redhead in the office award.
Oh, that's cool.
Thank you.
This is where we get the little bit about this being Erin's first Dundies. In fact, she says it's her first award ever, which made me sad for her orphan past.
This is the first award I've ever won in my entire life. People were right about the Dundies. They are magical.
And then we have her and Gabe. So maybe we need to catch up on them before we get back to the Dundies.
Sure. Yeah, I like this. We're going through and then we're hitting up everybody and then we can like, you know, double back on when we get reminded of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have a scene earlier in the episode where Pam and Jim are coming back from somewhere and they run into Erin having lunch in her car by herself.
Yeah.
She is acting super suspicious and she tells them to like get down and stay out of sight and like get in the car really quickly. And they do. And Erin reveals that she is hiding out from Gabe, that she is just not feeling their relationship anymore, that she needs some time away from him and that this is the only place that she can find it. And she has a little heart to heart with Pam because Jim bounces. He just leaves the conversation.
He finds it boring, which. As an audience member, I appreciate it because I don't really care about Gabe.
I eat lunch in the car now. It's my alone time. It's just nice to have some time away from Gabe.
Why don't you want to eat lunch with your boyfriend?
I really don't like spending time with him. Don't you think it's better to tell him the truth now, you know, rather than waste more of his time?
I think I'm gonna go.
What?
I think you got this.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Feel better.
Thank you, Jim.
I'm sorry, that just wasn't interesting to me.
So, yeah, Erin talks to Pam, and Pam tells her, you know, pretty basic relationship advice. Like, if you're hiding from your boyfriend, they probably should not be your boyfriend anymore. Erin is not into the confrontation of actually facing Gabe with this, and so she seems to be putting it off. But when we are at the Dundies and Erin receives her award, she chooses that time, that's the time, to tell Gabe that it's not working.
Gabe.
What?
We should break up.
What?
I'm not attracted to you. I cringe when you talk. I have to be honest.
By the way, she thanks Pam for the good advice in the middle of it. Gabe then gets on stage, because Gabe can't do anything like a normal human being. He says, here comes that quarter-life crisis everyone talks about. And then he leaves. Dwight plays the cricket sound effect. As Erin sits down, there's a comment, I think from Daryl, saying, man, that was cold.
Damn, that was cold.
Yeah, I guess that's the end of Erin and Gabe. Andy's watching this. He doesn't really say anything, but he's watching with rich anticipation, I think is fair to say, the look on his face.
Yeah, so we have the very public breakup of Gabe and Erin. Thanks, Dundies.
You're the best.
Another relationship ruined.
Should have had that second drink. It may have gone better. The last Dundies we see is the best Dundies host. And this is given to D'Angelo Vickers as a passing of the torch, a vote of confidence for Michael Scott and his successor. The crowd wants a speech, but as we saw earlier, D'Angelo is not very good at this. He doesn't want to be in public in these sorts of situations. And so one of Michael's techniques previously was to put headphones on D'Angelo as loud as they would go and just have him speak so he can't hear himself. So he starts yelling in the microphone about vomiting out of nervousness at the beginning. The manager of the restaurant comes over, like unplugs the PA and says, look, this is done. Everyone sort of just has to leave.
So that is how it ends. My last Dundies ever.
Yeah, they seem to set up the Dundies in various locations. Last time it was at a Chili's. This time it's at a kind of random restaurant. And I don't think that they really fully disclose what they're going to be doing and how they're going to be setting up, because the manager or the waiters are just constantly hovering and trying to like stop or contain the Dundies, and it definitely becomes a disruption to the entire restaurant.
Oh yeah.
And it doesn't seem like that they booked the proper venue for this award show ever.
No.
I could just imagine them just being rejected all across Scranton at like basically every location they could possibly find. Yeah.
They've been blacklisted, you know, like yeah. you can't be here. We know what this event is. Although once they're all back in the parking lot, though, you know, Pam wants to keep it going.
Let's grab some ice cream, go back to the office, and finish what we started.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is you kind of liked it.
And people agree. People are having a good time, except for Phyllis, who still looks really angry. And everyone's just going to go back to Dunder Mifflin and kind of finish out the evening. You know, I think everybody sees this as sort of the goodbye to Michael, the last time they're doing this. And so people go along with it.
Yeah, I think that's really nice. I think that the support here from the staff for Michael's last Dundee is the idea that, you know, they're really feeling for him. They don't want his last award show here to be stopped like this, to be ended kind of in the parking lot, half finished. And so they rally and they get everyone back to the office. D'Angelo needs to use the bathroom. I find that to be a very strange little gag that, you know, he's in the back seat of the car with Michael and Dwight kind of having a couple's fight in the front, and he really needs to use the restroom. He pushes his way into the office when they get there. That just seemed like really random and out of place. I don't know. It just didn't seem like it fit, but that's okay. D'Angelo's weird, and that's what we are establishing.
So it's on this drive back to Dunder Mifflin that Dwight is showing his displeasure. You know, he's saying, you know, the Dundies are dumb.
I thought it was the worst Dundies I've ever been to.
Man, maybe you should have won the kind of a bitch award.
His anger about the job is just really kind of boiling over into almost any contact with Michael at this point. It doesn't get resolved in this episode, right? We kind of leave Dwight angry, which I don't love.
They aren't doing well, the two of them. But getting back into the office, they start the awards again. Michael is up emceeing, and he gives Andy the Doobie Doobie Pothead Stoner of the Year award because he smoked pot once in college.
By his own admission, this person actually tried marijuana in college. So the Doobie Doobie Pothead Stoner of the Year award goes to Andy Bernard.
As Andy is receiving the award, he reveals that he has a little special award for Michael.
There's a lot of people I'd like to thank, but I think we all actually want to thank you, Michael.
Oh,
thank you. I mean, we actually really all want to thank you for everything.
We see that Daryl had set up the keyboard kind of in the back of the room, and we think that, oh, you know, Daryl's just continuing the award ceremony and the setup that they had at the restaurant. But Daryl starts playing.
Oh my God, something's happening.
And they all start singing, and they sing this amazing tribute to Michael, and they make up their own lyrics to the song Seasons of Love from Rent. And they start off by listing the amount of minutes that Michael has worked there, and it's 9,986,000 minutes. And they each have a verse about something like a reference to the past and a reference to Michael, a reference to him working there and management. It is such an epic goodbye.
9,986,000 minutes. We actually sat down and did the math.
9,986,000 minutes. That's how many minutes that you've worked here.
In costumes.
And impressions.
In meetings.
In cups of coffee.
For birthdays. More meetings and
email forwards you made us read.
9,986,000 minutes. That's like watching Die Hard 80,000 times.
You hit me with your car.
You help me get off drugs.
I watch you when you sleep.
I forgive you for kissing me.
Remember to call.
I got to
call. Remember to call.
Remember
to call.
Text or call or email or call.
Measure your life in love.
This was a surprise to Steve Carell that his reaction, because the Michael character is in the conference room tearing up, like his face and his eyes are all getting like red with tears, and it's so incredibly genuine. And you think like, wow, Steve Carell's a hell of an actor. He is. But in addition to that, this was a complete surprise that they, the cast and the crew, hid this from him, from Steve Carell, and he had no idea that this was going to be done, that the scene was even a thing. And they completely surprised him. So the reaction is 100% genuine. And I love that. I think it makes it so much more special.
Yeah, it is the show saying goodbye to Steve Carell as much as it is the employee saying goodbye to Michael. And I was just thinking about this, like, okay, so it wasn't in the table read. It wasn't in the script that Steve Carell had, but the one everyone else had. Like, just the behind the scenes of pulling something like this off must have been a lot of work, but it's so authentic when you watch it because you're actually watching it happen, like you said. And yeah, it I get goosebumps. I mean, I really, it's so good.
Yeah, okay. Well, this is going to hurt like a mother.
Even though we're going to have Michael for one more episode, if this had been the end of it and he just sort of like says goodbye after this song, I think it would have been perfect. I like the way that it ends, which we'll talk about next week, but.
The next episode just rips my heart out.
Yeah, there's a series of like very emotional episodes we're in the middle of, but this is great too. It really is nice.
I think that this is an important moment for Michael. It's a big realization that it's over. Like his choices have actual, you know, I don't want to say consequences, but he is leaving behind something big in order to go forward with Holly. And I think it's the right choice.
Yeah.
But he's very much recognizing how much it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt.
Yep. Yeah. It's like we said, you know, previously, he's giving up one family to gain another. And that means that even though it's good and the right thing to do that doesn't mean that it's not painful in the moment. And I think this episode really walks that line really nicely for me.
And as typical Office, I feel like we have like a formula here sometimes with the Office where they don't let you end on the big emotional crying moment. They just won't do it.
Nope. I wish they would sometimes, but they don't.
Last time you said you wish they would, you know, but with the proposal, this time I'm really with you. I wish they ended with Steve Carell's, you know, it's going to hurt like a mother. I really wish they ended it there, but instead we kind of dip back into the Dundies, like a little flashback, and we see Toby's Dundee Award, which is pretty mean.
Toby Flenderson, please come up here and accept the Extreme Repulsiveness Award. Oh, that's so mean.
No, it's fine. It's his last Dundies. You gotta play along, man.
And everyone kind of states how mean it is, and we also get a moment where Toby starts expressing that, you know, he was part of the jury of the Scranton Strangler, and he thinks he made the wrong decision. So we have that little bit of doubt cast for Toby's character there with, and that's why Toby's a strangler. But I really don't think it belongs in this episode. I don't think we should have had that. I think that should have been a deleted scene, and they should have just left it with Steve in his office, kind of being really emotional with his final Dundee.
Yep. So that is Michael's last Dundees.
The song gets me. That's the absolute best part of this. Do you think Mindy wrote the song? Do you think she did that? I mean, she wrote the episode.
I hope so.
Let's give her credit. She wrote the song.
I'm sure she was involved, awesome, Mindy, at the very
her
least.
Her talent. It's fantastic. So you can join us. We will be back next week talking about the episode Goodbye Michael. Oh, that one's gonna hurt too.
Mm-hmm.
These all hurt. All right, you can go and find us over on Twitter at @tall_beats, or you can find us individually at ismh and at @tiffarment. You can subscribe to become a member over at The Incomparable and get fun goodies at the end of the year and access to our members only bonus feed, the conference room, actually no, the multi-purpose room. I changed it.
That's right.
While D'Angelo is manager, it is the multi-purpose room over on Slack. So go and chat with us there. Cry with us there over this whole gut-wrenching time while we lose Michael. And I just, these episodes are so hard to get through. They really, really are. But something that isn't hard to get through, which is September, which I think Stephen wants to tell us a little bit about, the last week of September here. What's going on?
Yeah, so we are closing out National Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. We've been raising money for the last 4 weeks or so for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. They've been around for about 60 years, and in those six decades, they have taken the survival rate for childhood cancer from 20% to 80%. St. Jude is not content with that number, as amazing as it is, so they are continuing to work. And their work is funded by people like us. So you can go to stjude.org/relay and donate. As I'm speaking, we're at $520,000 raised this year, which is just absolutely incredible. We are raising money to the end of the month, so if you haven't donated, we'd love to see your somehow I manage office comments on that donation page, stjude.org/relay.
Yeah, I want to see those comments, and you can contact me if you make a donation. And we have a little giveaway from Somehow I Manage, and specifically from me, because I have some goodies in my possession. We have an office. There is an office coloring book and an office set of colored pencils. I think it's a really cute little gift, just a little bonus for donating. At first, we had said that, you know, whoever did the most would get this wonderful prize. But I think a little raffle might be a little bit more fair. What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Okay. So if you have donated in the name of Somehow I Manage, let me know. Send me a message on Twitter. Send me a message in my email, wherever you can find me. I don't know. I'm all over the place. But please send a message, maybe in the DMs on Twitter, whatever. I will give this wonderful little treat away for those of you who helped out St. Jude this month. So thank you to all of you.
Thank you.
And remember, every day is black tie optional. So maybe we can take that option for next week as we say goodbye to Michael.
You know, this is an audio program, right?
I don't care.
Can't see us.
I'm getting dressed.
They can't see us.
Nobody's going to know.
Nine million 986,000 minutes. That's how many minutes that you've worked here.
In costumes
and impressions,
in meetings,
in cups of coffee,
for birthdays,
more meetings, and
email forwards you made us read.
9,986,000 minutes.